translation. Whenever there are kings and administrators living like animals in the lowest mode of existence, the Lord in his transcendental form manifests his supreme power, the truth positive. Show special mercy to the faithful, performs wonderful activities, and manifests various transcendental forms as is necessary in different periods and ages. Purport. As mentioned above, the cosmic creation is the property of the Supreme Lord. This is the basic philosophy of Ishopanishad. Everything is the property of the Supreme Being. No one should encroach upon the property of the Supreme Lord. One should accept only what is kindly awarded by Him. Therefore, the Earth or any other planet or universe is the absolute property of the Lord. The living beings are certainly His parts and parcels, or sons, and thus everyone of them has a right to live at the mercy of the Lord, to execute his prescribed work. No one therefore can encroach upon the right of another individual man or animal without being so sanctioned by the Lord. The king or the administrator is the representative of the Lord to look after the management of the Lord's will. He must therefore be a recognized person, like Maharaj Yudhishthir or Parikshit. Such kings have full responsibility and knowledge from authorities about the administration of the world. But at times, due to the influence of the ignorance mode of material nature, tamoguna, the loss of material modes, kings and administrators come into power without knowledge and responsibility. And such foolish administrators live like animals for the sake of their own personal interests. The result is that the whole atmosphere becomes surcharged with anarchy and vicious elements. Nepotism, bribery, cheating, aggression, and therefore famine, epidemic, war, and similar other disturbing features become prominent in human society. And the devotees of the Lord, or the faithful, are persecuted by all means. All these symptoms indicate the time of an incarnation of the Lord, to re-establish the principles of religion and to vanquish the maladministrators. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Which verse is that? So it's very similar verse, right? Similar. The Lord then appears in his transcendental form without any tinge of material qualities. He descends just to keep the state of his creation in a normal condition. The normal condition is that the Lord has provided each and every planet with all the needs of the native living beings. They can happily live and execute their predestined occupations to attain salvation at the end, following the rules and regulations mentioned in the revealed scriptures. The material world is created to satisfy the whims of the Nityabhada, or everlasting conditioned souls, just as naughty boys are provided with playing cradles. Otherwise, there was no need of the material world. But when they become intoxicated with the power of material science to exploit the resources unlawfully without the sanction of the Lord, and that only for sense gratification, there is necessity of the Lord's incarnation to chastise the rebellious and to protect the faithful. When he descends, he exhibits superhuman acts just to prove his supreme right. And materialists like Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, and Kamsa are sufficiently punished. He acts in a manner which no one can imitate. For example, the Lord, when he appeared as Rama, bridged the Indian Ocean. When he appeared as Krishna, from his very childhood, he showed superhuman activities by killing Putana, Aghasura, Shakatasura, Kaliya, etc. And then his maternal uncle Kamsa. When he was at Dwaraka, he married 16,108 queens, and all of them were blessed with a sufficient number of children. The sum total of his personal family numbered members amounted to about 100,000, popularly known as the Aduvamsha. I think there was a change in the Veda base. I read the verse. It was some millions, right? Yeah. The sum total of his personal family members amounted to about 100,000. So I'm just saying that in the Veda base, which is the latest, there was a change of 10 million, I believe. Somebody can look if you're reading. Is it written? Or it's 100,000? It doesn't matter a lot. So popularly known as the Yaduvamsha. And again, during his lifetime, he managed to vanquish them all. He is famous as the Govardhana Dhari Hari because he lifted at the age of only 7 the hill known as Govardhana. The Lord killed many undesirable kings in his time, and as a kshatriya, he fought chivalrously. He is famous as Asamurdva, unparalleled. No one is equal to or greater than him. Yada hya dharmina tamodhiyo nripa jivanti tatraisha hi sattvata kila dhate bhagam satyam mritam dayam yasho bhavaya rupani dadhat yuge yuge. Whenever there are kings and administrators living like animals in the lowest modes of existence, the Lord in his transcendental form manifests his supreme power, the truth positive, shows his special mercy to the faithful, performs wonderful activities, and manifests various transcendental forms as is necessary in different periods and ages. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Guru Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Budalem Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Beva Chapatita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here, the ladies of Hastinapura continue speaking. In their ecstatic feelings, they glorify Krishna. As was explained in the beginning of the chapter, when they saw he was just about to leave after staying for already a few months there, and they rushed to the top of the buildings and they were throwing flowers to show honor, and their eyes full of tears, but they checked their tears because they thought this might be inauspicious when Krishna leaves. So it was very hard to not cry when Krishna leaves. And then they started glorifying him in these beautiful prayers, which also give very deep philosophical points about the true position of the Supreme Lord. Although for them he was the most attractive personality. So here they say how he appears again and again, just like in his incarnation at this present time. He appeared many times before and will appear in different periods and ages, yuge yuge, again and again, and will take wonderful forms. and that will manifest his supreme power, his fame, and wonderful qualities. And he has a purpose, and he has many purposes accomplished in his appearances, and one of which is to remove those leaders in society who are influenced by the tamadhiya. They are influenced by the lower modes of nature. And because of that, they act for their selfish purpose only, and they cause disturbance in society. They create such an atmosphere which is very, very difficult for the living entities to live in, to fulfill the purpose of human existence, namely to go back home, back to Godhead. And this is stated by Krishna himself in the Bhagavad Gita, that he comes again and again when there is a dharma glani, which the religious principles, here Prabhupada says, God's will, dharma, when it becomes deteriorated, then he appears to establish them again and to remove these leaders who are obstacles. So he does it regularly, yuga after yuga, but in Kali Yuga, it's said that he doesn't appear, right? His name is mentioned many times in Bhagavatam, in other Vedic scriptures, Triyuga. He appears in the Triyugas. And that seems quite a puzzling, because in Kali Yuga, that's the time when there is a real dharma glani, or the decline of dharma. So why is that he is called Tri Yuga? Any ideas? Yes, so Prahlad Maharaj says that in Kali Yuga, because his incarnation is Chana, he's called Tri Yuga. But still, the question is, he doesn't manifest as a supreme. That's why it's covered. He doesn't manifest his supreme opulence in a sense that he kills the demons and shows the superhuman activities. Why he doesn't do that in Kali Yuga? Yes. So he doesn't exhibit his supreme power, but he takes the form of a devotee to give example, to show how to perform devotional service. And why he doesn't, in that form, is as a devotee, devotees don't usually kill demons unless they're empowered, like Arjuna and Yudhishthira, to fulfill the mission of the Lord. But in Kali Yuga, he doesn't do that, neither his devotees. Why is that? Yeah?
Nanda Puru says that if you're going to kill Malai, you have to kill everybody in Kali Yuga, so Adi Venkul, Adi Sayyidina.
Okay. Yes? Okay, so one point was that he was mentioned in Chaitanya Bhagavat, especially in the story of Jagai Madai, which is very described in very great detail. And when Nityananda Prabhu was struck by Madai, and then Lord Chaitanya came very angry, and he was ready to kill Madai, and then Nityananda Prabhu threw himself, said, "Don't do it, not now. This is not the time. If you kill him, you have to kill everyone else. And don't do it. He actually, you have to save him, and then you'll show everyone else your supreme mercy. And the other point is that his purpose is to show bhakti, and in bhakti there is, you say, no own reverence, but there is own reverence. There is bhakti in own reverence, or fear, still you could say, but there is no exhibition of power in bhakti, although there are different varieties of moods. Yes, that's also there. And yeah, it's the example of Jagan Madai is very appropriate, because they are typical Kali Yuga personalities, perform all kinds of different sinful activities. And one thing which is mentioned in Chaitanya Bhagavata, they somehow, although they killed cows and did horrible things, killed other people, and they didn't offend devotees. They didn't contact devotees. They were, for some reasons, they were not in their somehow in their agenda, and because of that, they were able to be saved. And this is a theme which comes again and again in Chaitanya Bhagavata, that you have a chance, no matter who you are. If you're really sinful, fallen, degraded, you can be saved if you don't offend devotees. There's also the story of a family sannyasi who was living nearby Ganges, and one day Lord Chaitanya told Nityananda, let's go and visit Advaita in Shantipur, which is quite a distance. So they're walking and enjoying seeing the beautiful creation. And then they on the halfway in the village called Lalitpur, they saw a hut on the bank of the Ganges. Lord Chaitanya said, let's see who is living here. Maybe we can get some prasad. So they went there, and there was this family sannyasi, or a married sannyasi, and which they didn't find out immediately, but it became clear when they saw his wife. But he was a sannyasi, and Nityananda said, oh, there is one sannyasi, let's see. And Mahaprabhu said, well, if we're very fortunate, we'll see him. So they went, and the sannyasi came out, and he was really captivated by their beauty, especially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's beauty, and he was like, oh, who are you? I bless you. I bless you to be fortunate by having a great wealth and a beautiful wife. And Mahaprabhu said, Swamiji, I don't think this is a real blessing. A real blessing is bhakti, devotional service. And this sannyasi said, now I see what I have heard. I heard it in Kali Yuga. Unqualified people will teach others what to do. And here I see it. A mere boy who is still sucking milk is telling me what to do and what is proper and what is not proper. And how can you teach me? That I, out of my great mercy, I try to give him blessing. And I gave him the best possible blessing. You become wealthy and enjoy sense gratification. But he rejected that. And Mahaprabhu tried to explain, but this blessing actually will keep you in this material world. And the real blessing is to worship Krishna and serve him and go back to him. And this sannyas just was shaking head. No. Now I see. I've traveled everywhere, in all the holy places, and still he thinks he can tell me. And Nityananda Prabhu said, well, Swamiji, you're right. You know, we're he's just a boy. He's too young and inexperienced. He doesn't know the true meaning of scripture. And please, you know, he doesn't know your glory. So hearing about this, Sannyasi was very heavy. He said, please come and take prasad. And Chaitanya said, no, no, we have to go, actually. We're very busy. But he said, no, please come, please come. And they said, okay. So they went inside, and he gave them jackfruit and milk. They offered, and they took some prasad or mango, some fruits. And then they took bath first. They went back to prasad. And then just when they were finishing, he came, and his wife came. And then he said, do you want some ananda? And Mahaprabhu didn't understand what. And then he didn't answer, but he was like, do you want some ananda? And then Mahaprabhu, what he's asking? And Nityananda, I think he's speaking about wine. And then his wife before his wife said, because she was just looking at Chaitanya and she was mesmerized by his beauty, and she was like, and she was like, stop disturbing them, leave them to finish their meal. And then when he said, well, I want to give you some wine, and I mean, Nityananda Prabhu translated that ananda means wine. And then Mahaprabhu just ran away, and Vishnu, Vishnu, and they left and washed their hands. So, and continued to see Advaita Acharya for a specific purpose, but that's another story. The author, Vrindavan Das Thakur, explains that this person was so degraded. He was a fallen sannyasi, so-called sannyasi, drinking wine and having illicit relationships, but he was not offender, and he got the mercy. The Supreme Lord personally took prasad at his place, and he says he might not be completely purified in this life, but he will, because he got the mercy of the Lord. So, even the most degraded persons will be able to receive if they are not offenders. But they have to become recipients of Krishna's mercy in some of his incarnations. So as Lord Chaitanya personally came, he delivered everyone. But after his departure, what is the form, what is the avatara of the Lord which is accessible, which is described in scriptures? There is different avatars. Which one we can access right now? Holy name, holy name. Okay, so where is that set? In Chaitanya Charitamrita? Kali, Kali, Nama Rupi Krishna Avatar. Who says that? Do you remember the context? It's Lord Chaitanya. Jai Shishi Radha Gokulananda. Lord Chaitanya spoke that to an assembly of devotees when he was explaining the verse from Brihannaradiya Purana about the holy name, that there is no other way in this yuga, Harir Nama verse. So this is definitely Kali Yuga Avatara, the holy name. What else? Yes, Archana. Archa avatar, Archa avatar, or Archa vigraha, which is a form of, a specific form. One is a sound form, and the other is form made of material elements, vastu. And there are five elements, and there's a 23rd chapter in 11th Keto. Krishna gives a very elaborate description about how to worship the form of the Lord, to Uddhava. And he says there are five different elements, material elements, and one of them is subtle, which is it. It's the mind. So that's another form of, you can have a deity in your mind and worship. And the worship is prescribed in different paraphernalia, different ways. And what else? Any other form? Yes. Krishne sva dham mo pagate dharma gyanadi bisaha kalau nashta drishamesha puranarko dhunodita. So it's said that Krishna, when he left for his dhamma, his supreme abode, what happened with dharma and jnana? What happened in Kali Yuga? They disappear. But this Purana is like the sun, brilliant as the sun, Arka. Arka means sun. And Adhuna Udita, it just arises then when Krishna leaves. And Prabhupada says at the end of the purport, and Srimad Bhagavatam is the summum bonum of life, Lord Krishna personified. We must therefore accept Srimad Bhagavatam as the direct representation of Lord Krishna. One who can see Srimad Bhagavatam can see also Krishna in person. They are identical. And how can we see Bhagavatam? Does it mean just like this? Okay, here's Bhagavatam, I can see it. Yes, we see through hearing. Also, Bhagavatam is a sound incarnation. But also one very important element, hearing. Yeah? Yeah, hearing in the proper association. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya, when he gave the five most important elements in bhakti processes, which include the three avatars we already mentioned, the holy name, the deity form, and the Bhagavatam. But he says, Sadhu Sangha first. Sadhu Sangha in the association of devotees and in the holy atmosphere, Mathura, in a temple or in a home where there is a sanctified place which is purified by the service mood of the devotees. And there is another story also in Chaitanya Charitamrita about a poet from Bengal who came, and he had composed a poem for glorification of Lord Chaitanya. And he was a friend of Bhagavatacharya, and he insisted, can you read this? Let's read this to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And after some time, Bhagavatacharya went to other devotees. He said, well, there is one very nice devotee, and he wants to present this. But devotees knew, if you want to present something to Mahaprabhu, first has to be heard and approved by whom? Swarup Damodar, the secretary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they ask, and Swarup Damodar heard, and he heard just the opening verse. And in this opening verse, it was very beautiful. Actually, devotees heard it, and they were very happy. And when he read it, everyone appreciated, oh, such a nice metaphor. And Swarup Damodar became angry and chastised him. How can you compare? Because he made a comparison. Jagannath is the body and Chaitanya is the soul. And he said, how can you say that Jagannath is a body? He is a completely transcendental and non-different from, you know, his form is transcendental. There's no difference between the soul and the form. And this person was very humble, actually, and he understood, he made mistakes, and then Swarup Damodar explained, and then he advised him, you can understand the Lord by hearing, and you have to hear, you have to study, understand Bhagavatam in the association of devotees. Then you can properly see. That's the only qualification. And one more point I thought when I read it, I'll just mention quickly, is that here speaks about kings and administrators, leaders in general of society, but we, no matter what position we have, at some point in life, we'll have some position of leadership, whether in our organization, towards others, or in our family, or towards younger people. So that's important that to understand that leadership means helping others to fulfill God's will, helping them in the path of devotional service. And if we're influenced by lower modes, then we become a problem. We become a problem of the execution of Lord's will. And is that possible for devotees to be influenced by the lower modes? Yes or no? No? Yes? How can devotees be influenced? Okay, let's hear just a little bit from Kapila Muni, who says that bhakti yoga bahu vidho margai bhavani bhavyate. He says there are bahu vidha marga. There are different manifestations of bhakti according to the guna margena, to the qualities and the behavior of persons svabhava, according to their own nature, which is conditioned by the three modes. And then he says in the next verse, when somebody is influenced by the mode of ignorance, as we hear about these kings who are influenced by tamoguna, how the devotional service will manifest? If someone remembers, you can say what. Can you imagine in what way the devotional service will be manifest by a devotee in the mode of ignorance? What kind of behavior and qualities? Envy? Something else? Pride, yes? Okay, so abhi sandhaya means manifests. Yo himsam, by himsa, by violence, dambha, pride, matsaryam, envy, eva va, samrambhi means anger. Yeah, anger. Binadrik bhavam, and binadrik is very important here. Prabhupada says, a separatist vision. Mai kuryat satamaha. Devotional service executed by a person who is envious, proud, violent, and angry, and who is a separatist, is considered to be in the mode of darkness. And Srila Prabhupada says that one who approaches the Supreme Lord to render devotional service, but who is proud of his personality, envious of others, or vengeful. How you pronounce that? Is it correct? Vengeful. Vengeful, right. He has a vengeance. He's in the mode of anger. He thinks that he is the best devotee. Devotional service executed in this way is not pure. It is mixed and is of the lowest grade, tama. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur advises that Vaishnava who is not of a good character should be avoided. And in Rajaguna, someone worships the deities in the temple but has a separatist mentality, has a motive for enjoyment, fame, and opulence, that's in the mode of passion. And Prabhupada says the word separatist, again, binadrik or pritak bhava, must be understood carefully. Sanskrit words in this connection are binadrik and pritak bhava. A separatist is one who sees his interest as separate from that of the Supreme Lord. Mixed devotees or devotees in the modes of passion and ignorance think that the interest of the Supreme Lord is supplying the orders of the devotee. The interest of such devotees is to draw from the Lord as much as possible for their sense gratification. This is the separatist mentality. And interestingly, this also is there in Sattvaguna. Karma, nirharam udishya, parasmin va tat arpanam yajet, yashtavyam yiva. When a devotee worships the Supreme Lord and offers the results of his activities in order to free himself from the inebrieties of fruitive activities, this is devotion in the mode of goodness. But it's also, Pritak Bhava also has a separatist mentality, because you want something for yourself. You want to be free from the entanglement of fruitive activities. So there is motivation, although it's much more subtle, not gross like the lower modes. And then the Lord says, what is devotional service, which is nirgunasya. Do you want to hear? Madguna shruti matrena. It is. It says that the manifestation of unadulterated devotional service is exhibited when one's mind is at once attracted to hearing the transcendental name and qualities of the Supreme Lord, who is residing in everyone's heart. And how is that at once attraction manifested? Just as the water of the Ganges flows naturally down towards the ocean, such devotional ecstasy, uninterrupted by any material condition, flows towards the Supreme Lord. And the words are very interesting, because he says that this type of bhakti, which is pure, the symptom of that is the mind flows. Manogatir actually is the path of the mind, or the way, manogatir avichena. It's just spontaneously as attracted to hearing and chanting. So if we're not yet so spontaneously attracted, of course we can plan to hear and chant, so that we can make that part of the mind ourselves and direct it toward hearing the name, the qualities described and pastimes of the Lord described in Srimad Bhagavatam, and in this way overcome the lower modes. And this is done especially in the association of devotees, because the subtle manifestations of this pride and envy, they are very difficult, as yesterday Maharaj quoted this verse from Hari Bhakti Vilas, and it's also said in Manav Shiksha, Res Pratishta. Very difficult. He calls them, Raghunath Das Goswami, Pratishtan Kapata, deceit or hypocrisy. He called them shameless, because very difficult to see yourself. They are kind of hidden. This pride and the deceitfulness. And he says, the only way is to take shelter at the generals in the army of the Lord, or great devotees. They can help us overcome this. And also Lord Chaitanya in the story of Vasudev, the leper, when he saved him, and Vasudev was, well, now I am so beautiful and I'll become proud. And Lord Chaitanya told him, Nirantara Krishna Krishna Bole, if you chant always the holy name, no problem, you will not become proud. So that's the solution. Take shelter of great devotees and chant and hear always, and will not be influenced by the lower modes in our devotional service. Thank you so much for your attention. Are there any reflections or comments, questions?